So we are holding by the Mishnah on Tzadik Gimel on the Beis at the bottom. Mishnah says, Tzadik Gimel on the Beis at the bottom, the Mishnah. Yeah. Mishnah says, Hamoti Oichlin Pachas Mikashir Bekli. If a person takes out food less than the shear in a kevi. So now we've been learning the whole time that the amount of food that a person is chayav for carrying on Shabbos is a gregeris, signs of a dried fig. So what happens if he had less than that amount of food, but it was in a kevi? Now the kevi itself is obviously large enough for him to be chayav for carrying it out. Nevertheless, potter afalakli, he's potter for carrying the food because less than a shear, and he's also potter for carrying the kli, shakli tfeiloi, because the kevi is secondary to the food. Because once you're potter for the food, then the keli is bottled to the food, basically, and therefore you're potter for the keli as well. There are other Rabbi Hanano wants to say that. We're holding in the Mishnah, I'm trying to give him all the days. So the Rabbi Hanano brings something from the Yerushalmi that maybe this only applies to food that has to be carried in a keli, for example, certain kinds of berries, which are very soft and they're going to get squashed if you carry them by themselves. But most of the other Rishonim don't say any such distinction. Regardless, one other possibility they bring is maybe if the keli is more important than the food, then you should be higher for the keli. The consensus is neither of the above. When we say, we mean across the board. You're always positive for the keli. Another case, as a chai b'mitzah, if you carry out on Shabbos a living person in a bed, you're potter for carrying the person, because as we're going to learn in the Gemara, the concept called chai noiseh asmoi, that a person helps lift themselves up. So therefore, you're potter for the person. And again, you're potter also for the bed, shan mitzah tfeiloi, because it's for the same thing. The bed is tofel for the person, the same thing as the food in the keli. On the other hand, as a mess, the mitzvah chayev. But if a person carries out a mess in a bed, then he would be chayev. Because the mess obviously is not carrying himself. Now, this is going to be the matter that we're going to be discussing. This is a matter that we've discussed previously called malacha she'en tzricha legufa. You have, when you're doing a malacha, now, so we've learned a number of times in our masechta that there's a machlok that's a malacha she'en tzricha legufa, when you're doing a malacha not for its own sake, and that Rabbi Yehuda says that a person is chayav for that, and Rabbi Shimon says he's potter, the Rambam, by the way, passing like Rabbi Yehuda, most of the other Rishonim passing like Rabbi Shimon. So what is malacha she'en tzricha legufa? The Rashi over here and in a number of other places explains that malacha she'en tzricha legufa is basically you're doing it not because you want the object itself, but because you want to get rid of it. You want it out of the way. So, for example, taking out a mess from the house, you're not doing it because you want to do something with a mess necessarily. You're doing it because you want to get it out of the way, because it's in the house and it's uncomfortable and smelling and stinking up the house, etc. So that's Rashi's definition of malacha she'en tzricha legufa. Tosfos asks on that you have examples. We learned before, for example, that there's malacha in the Mishkan called kireya, ripping. And he said that what was involved over there is you have, let's say, you have one of the curtains in the Beis Mikdash where a worm ate a hole through it, and you have to rip some of the curtain above and below the hole, so that instead of a round hole, you have a long hole, which then is easier to stitch up and not have it noticeable. So in that case, by Rashi's definition, that should be malacha she'en tzricha legufa, because you would have preferred, therefore, according to Rashi's definition, that you would have preferred, for example, that you don't have the mess there in the first place. I said it a little bit wrongly. Rashi is that you would have preferred that it's sonu lebala. It didn't come to you with your desire. You would have preferred that there's no mess there in the first place. Well, you would have preferred there's also not a wormhole there in the first place. So why are you chayav for kareya? So Tosfos rather learns that the definition of malacha she'en tzricha legufa is you're not doing it for the same purpose that they did it in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, for example, what do they do? What do they do Haitzah for? Because they needed an item that was in point A, and it had to be brought to point B. It had to be brought to the craftsmen to make the Mishkan or whatever it is, as opposed to over here. It's not that you need the mess to be in point B. You just want it out of point A. You want it out of your house. So therefore, Tosfos defines that's Malach Hashem Yisrael Chalibofa. Some other Rishonim define it a little bit differently, and maybe their definition is similar. It's similar to Rashi's, that it means that you're doing it. Malach Hashem Yisrael Chalibofa is you're doing it, for example, in order to remove a hezek. In this case, for example, it's damaging to have the mess in the house because, among other things, it stinks up the house, and therefore you're removing it. You're removing it for that reason. It's a slightly different definition than Rashi's, but it might be that Rashi would agree with that definition as well. Okay. Anyway, the point is, our Mishnah is going according to the Yehuda, says Tosfos, and therefore it's being mechayev, the person for carrying out the mess in the bed. V'chein kezayis min ha-mess, the same way if a person carries out on Shabbos a kezayis, not even a whole mess, but only a kezayis from a mess, the kezayis min ha-nevela, or a kezayis of a dead animal, v'chadoshim min ha-sheretz, or a lentil-sized piece of a dead sheretz, all of those things are the shear for them to be mekamei. So the same thing, chayev, so in all those cases, he's chayev because he's accomplishing something, he's removing truma from the house. In the case of, for example, he takes out less than a kezayis, then he's not accomplishing anything anyway. There was no truma there before because you need a kezayis in order to kadosha from a sheretz to be metame anyway. So anyway, he's not accomplishing anything. So therefore, he can't be chayev for that. We'll see in the Gemara what happens. We'll see in the Gemara. We'll talk about what happens if it was a kezayis from a larger mess. What happens if you have a mess that was several kezayim and you take out one kezayim, is that enough to be mechayev? There are Rishonim, by the way, who learn that the vote is that when you have a kezayim from a mess, you have a mess to bury it, but any, can you put it, you put, you mind putting it on mute, please? Guys, you mind putting it on mute, please? Thank you. You have your shonim, we'll talk about the idea that maybe there's a chiyuv of burying a mess only if you have a kezayis. Maybe if you have a piece less than a kezayis of a mess, then you don't have a mitzvah to bury it. So a bit of a discussion, pro and con, about that. Okay. Anyway, Rav Shimon Poiter, in all these cases, Rav Shimon says he's Poiter, because again, it's Malach HaShem, it's Zricha L'Gufa, according to any of these three definitions that the Rishonim give. Okay. Give me more thoughts. Turn it up on him. Hamotzi Oichon Kashir, if a person carries out food, that is the shear, so a gregeres umor. In the kli, if he's carrying it out in a keli, chayev ala oichon or potter ala kli, then he's chayev for carrying the food, and he has to bring a chasas for that. But he's potter for the keli, because as we said in the Mishnah, the keli is bottle, is toffle for the food. The imhay, now we're going to ask, we're going to ask in a second, that's why shouldn't he be chayev for the keli separately. The imhay of kli, sorich loy, if he needed the keli for a certain purpose, chayev afala kli, then he's chayev for that as well. So Rashi explains, in other words, let's say, so he's carrying out a gregeris of food, and he's carrying it in a cup, let's say, and he's doing that because he also needs the cup someplace else. So then he's going to be chayev separately for the cup, because then you can't say that it's bottled, then you can't say that it's toffle to the food, because he actually has it in mind separately. Here's where Rabbeinu Hananel says that what it means, kli tzorich loy, means, for example, that we're talking about like soft berries or things which can't be carried outside of a keli. So then he says he'd be chayav for the keli. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Shma mina oichol shnei zeise chelev behelam echad chayav shtayim. Can we say that we can learn from this Mishnah that if a person were to eat two kezeisim of chelev in one helam, in one period of unknowing, chayav shtayim, that he would be chayav two chatos, because you're saying over here that in this case, you're being mechayev him for the food and for the keli, because he needed the keli separately someplace else, even though he did it all in one act of hitzah. Now, you have, there's a Gemara in Menachos, I think, where the Gemara discusses whether the Sumchus might hold that if a person does that, a person eats two kezeisim of chelev, one after the other, behelam echad, then he'd be chayev two chatos. But based on our Mishnah over here, based on the way we're understanding our Mishnah, it would seem that we could answer that at least the Gemara asks, is there any Tana who holds that? And the Gemara discusses the possibility maybe Sumchus holds that. We see from our Mishnah on the face of it that the Tana of our Mishnah holds that way. Because carrying a keli with food should be the equivalent of eating two kezeisim of chelev. In fact, we showed him point out that on the face of it, you would compare it more to two gregeris of food. But that's the thing. In other words, since you have, the Rashba explains, food and keli are two separate things, therefore there's more reason to say that it should be chayev separately. It's not like, in other words, the Rashba points out, everybody would agree that if a person ate two kezesim of chayla both at the same time, he put the two kezesim into his mouth both at the same time, for sure he's only going to be chayev one chafet. The question was if he ate one after the other. But carrying a keli with food in it, each one is a thing of its own, the food and the keli. Therefore, that's the equivalent of eating a kezayis of chaylev, and then afterwards, a few minutes later, eating another kezayis of chaylev, or behelam echad. And therefore, the Gemara is asking that we should be able to prove that there is a Tano who holds that way. However, Omer of Sheshes, Rav Sheshes says no, because hachav mayas dinan, you know what we're talking about over here in the Mishnah? Because then sheshagav ala ochlin, vehizid ala keli. Suppose that he was shogeg about the food, so he thought, let's say, that you're allowed to keli, he thought that the malacha of Hitzah and Shabbos does not include food, so he was shogeg regarding that. Vehizid ala keli, but he was being nazed on the keli. That he figured, you know what, I need this keli in another place, I don't care that it's Shabbos, I'm carrying it out. So what would it mean then when we say chayev af ala keli, would mean that he's chayev misa for the keli, because he carried it the mazid. He'd be chayev a chatos for the food. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos brings first of all from the Rashbam who wants to change the girsa in the Gemara. That he was shogeg on the keli and nazed on the food, so he's not chayev mitzvah for either one, because the food he thought is mutter to carry, they didn't give him asura. Then Tosfos brings from the Ri that no, what it means is if he's nazed on the keli, we're not going to make him bring a chatas for the food as well, because he's not shav midiyosa. We learned before that to be chayev a chatas. We learned in the seventh parak, to be chayev a chatas, the person has to be shav midiyosa, meaning that he wouldn't have done what he was doing if he had known that it's osur. Like this, he would have done it. This, he would have, because like this, he's carrying the keli deliberately. And if he had found out that, in fact, it is also to carry food on Shabbos as well, he would have said, so what? I don't care. I need the food in another place, and I'm carrying it anyway. Therefore, you can't make him bring a chatos for it, says Tosfos. So therefore, it would only be a chiyuv misa for the keli and nothing for the food. As opposed to, according to Rashi, he would be chayev a skila for the keli and a chatos for the food.
Why would he be chayev in the chatos?
According to the Rashbam's explanation, because according to the Rashbam's explanation, the case would be that he was shogeg about the keli and mazed on the food, but they didn't give him asura.
Mazed,
you don't bring a korban, but if you don't give him asura, then you have to get tefillah either. So that's what it means, in other words, says Rav Sheshes. We're talking about that there was a shogeg and a mazed over here. So when we say that he's chayev af ala kli, means not that he's chayev two chatois, one for the food and one for the keli, but rather he's chayev skila and a chatos, or according to the last explanation in Tosfos, with skila only, no chatos.
When you have two punishments, don't you just take the more severe one? They actually both apply?
You're talking about kamle b'dirabamine, yes. But kamle b'dirabamine, which we talked about previously, we talked about kamle b'dirabamine the other day in connection with the person stealing the money bag on Shabbos. That applies only when it comes to money. That applies only when it comes to a monetary payment to somebody else and misa. Here we're talking about a korban. A korban doesn't go under the rules of kamle b'dirabamine because ultimately the korban he needs for his kapara, and the kapara he needs regardless. So therefore, yes, he would end up having to do both, according to Rashi, yes. Okay. Maski for Rav Ashi, however, thank you for mentioning that, though. Maski for Rav Ashi, however, Rav Ashi asks on that, what do you mean that he's chayev skila and a chata, so skila only or whatever? Well, ha'af ala kli katani, the expression in the Braisa is that he's chayev also for the keli, which implies that there's two equal chiyuvim, two chatas. So Rav Ashi says, no, he was shogeg on both of them, but then he found the noidaloi, then he found out that he had been mechalal Shabbos by one of them, because of a noidaloi, and then he found out that he had been mechalal Shabbos with the other one as well. So let's say he found out first he wasn't supposed to take out a kevi. He still thought at that point that it was mutter for him to take out the food. Later on, he opens up Shemir Shabbos, Kilchot, or whatever, and discovers that he wasn't supposed to be carrying food on Shabbos either. And therefore, so the Gemara says, over klugta de Rav Yochanan v'Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Now this machloikas of Rav Ashi and Rav Sheshes actually is the same machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. We learned back in the seventh parak on Daf Ayin Aleph, we had a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish on a similar case where a person did one issur of Shabbos. Then he found out that what he had done was Osir. Then he did another Issur of Shabbos, and again found out later on that it was Osir. And now at the end he's designating a korban. Does he have to bring one or two? Rabbi Yochanan had said he has to bring two. Rish Lakish had said he has to bring one. So Rav Ashi is going like Rabbi Yochanan, saying that the fact that he knew in between makes them separate chatos. And Rav Sheshes doesn't agree with that, so he says, I go like Rish Lakish. Anyway, no, the different knowings don't make him chayiv separate korbanos. He's anyway only going to be chayiv one korban as long as he found out everything before he designated the korban. Or we said over there a possibility, maybe even before he brought the korban. So therefore, Rav Ashi has to explain it differently than Rish Lakish and than Rav Sheshes. And Rav Sheshes can't accept Rav Ashi's answer because Rav Sheshes says, according to Rish Lakish, which is what I hold by, he wouldn't be bringing two chatois for such a case anyway. Tosfos learns differently that we don't mean that the two of them are arguing on the machlokas of Yechon and Rish Lakish. In fact, even if Rav Sheshes agrees with Rish Lakish, he still could agree with Rav Ashi's answer over here. So he just says that it means, in other words, that this that Rav Ashi is saying, he's chayav two chatois, this that the Braita is saying, he's chayav two chatois, would depend on the machlokas of Rav Yechon and Rish Lakish, whether in fact he's chayav one or two. We said in the Mishnah, as a chayv mitzah potter af al mitzah, we said if you carry a living person in a bed, then you chayv chatos also, then you potter for the bed as well. So the person himself, you potter for carrying because chay noiseh tatsmai, as we're going to discuss. And the bed, again, we said it's topple to him, just like the keli to the food. The Gemara says, lema mas nissin rab nosin hivaloi rabbanon. Should we have to say that our Mishnah goes only according to Rab Nosin and not according to the Rabbanon? Tanya, we learn in a braita, hamoti behema chayva oifo shosarabim. If a person carries out domestic animals or wild animals or birds to shosarabim, bein chayin or bein shchotin, whether those creatures are alive or shechted, chayev, he's still chayev. Rav Nosson Omer, al shchotin chayev. Rav Nosson says he is chayev for ones that are shechted, sure. Val chayin potter, but he is potter for live ones. Because the living creature helps carry itself. When you carry somebody, like they shift their weight in order to make it easier for you to carry them. So now, Rav Nosson is saying this concept of chay noiseh tatsmoy. It seems like the Chachamim would disagree with him. At this point, the Gemara assumes that when Rav Nosson is talking about animals, he would say the same thing as far as people, and the Chachamim, the Pashtus, would argue with him on both of them. So it comes out that our Mishnah is only a coincidence of nothing. Now, let's learn the answer first, and then we'll talk about this business of Chai Noseh Tatsmei. What exactly does that mean? So the answer is Amar Rava Afilu Tamer Rabbanon. So Rava says, no, you could even say that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanon, because Ad Kan Leplugi Rabbanon Alei Rav Nosson Ela Behema Chayva Oif Demeshaveti Nafshayu. Because a Behema Chayva Oif, if you try to carry them, they will try to pull themselves downward. Meshaveti comes from the word Shavet, like a Shavet Hazahav in the Middle of Esther, means like a stick, a scepter or whatever. So like they stiffen themselves, they make themselves like a stick. And they make themselves heavy. They don't want you to carry them. So they're not noisei tatsmoy. Just the opposite. They're trying to get away. So therefore, Rav Nosson and Rav Nosson would say, still, it doesn't matter. The fact is, they are alive and they are capable of carrying themselves, and therefore you're potter. Whereas the Rabbanon would disagree because they're not helping you. Avol, Adam, Chai, denoisei tatsmoy. When it comes to a living person who doesn't try to stiffen himself and prevent you from carrying him and whatever, and he really is noisei tatsmoy, afilu Rabbanon moidu. Even the Rabbanon might agree with Rav Nosson that he's potter. Not that you're allowed to do it. Of course, it would still be osur. Most cases in Masechta Shabbos, we would say potter, it still means osur, but he wouldn't be chayv chafes for it. So what's this chay noisei tatsmoy business? So Tosfos points out, what's the logic? And when it comes to carrying things on Shabbos, it doesn't matter whether the thing is lighter or heavier, you're chayv either way. Why should we say because the person is helping carry themselves, therefore you should be potter? So Tosfos says like this. Where do we learn the whole? Where do we learn all the malachas of Shabbos from? From the Mishkan. So they have to be at least in some way similar to the malachas that they did in the Mishkan. Now, in the Mishkan, we never find that they carried living creatures. They have the animals that they needed the skins from, the tchoshim and the elim. Those could walk on their own. Nobody needs to carry them. The chilazin, as soon as they caught it, as we learned before, it's better to get out the dye from the chilazin while it's still alive, because then the dye comes out stronger. So therefore, they would squeeze out the dye as soon as possible. They wouldn't bring the chalazin all the way to where they needed to do it. They would do it right away over there. So you didn't really have where they're carrying live creatures in the Mishkan. So therefore, given that, so Achronim explained what Tosfos means. Given that, therefore, there's a noticeable difference between carrying a live creature versus carrying a dead one. Namely, this that we're saying, that no says that, then therefore there's reason for Rav Nachman to say that it doesn't apply when you're carrying a living creature. And again, the Chachamim agree with the basic premise. They just say there's a difference between animals that prevent you from carrying them, so therefore they are more like dead weight in that sense. They are more like anything else that you might carry versus a person who helps make themselves lighter. The different answer the Tosfos HaRosh gives is based on the concept we learned yesterday about Mesayeya. We had the whole discussion over there about where two people are doing a malacha together. One of them is doing the main thing, and the other one is helping him out a little, where we talk about Mesayeya in Be'mamish, but the Rosh says over here, Mesayeya Yesh Be'mamish, the fact that he's actually helping you carry him means that he's actually doing a significant Mesayeya. It's considered, in effect, as though you have two people doing the malacha together. And therefore, we said, and we said that would be, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, we said they'd be positive. Reb Moshe has in one of his tribus a very interesting explanation about Chai Noseh Fasmai, different than all of the above. He says basically like this. We have to examine, he says, what's the malacha of Hatzah on Shabbos? Why is that a malacha? I mean, you're not really changing anything in the thing. Okay, we learn it from the Mishkan, but still, we have to have some kind of svara, what should be the chashivos, what should be the importance of taking something from point A to point B that we should make it chayev. So he says, the vort is because since you're talking about some kind of inanimate object, somebody had to bring it there. So in effect, if you see something over here, you see a Gemara over here, you see a chair over here, whatever, who brought it over here? You have to think to yourself. And then, so the fact that somebody had to bring it over there gives it a certain chashivos. People are not like that. People are capable of walking on their own. If you see a person in such a place, nobody asks who carried him over here. What do you mean, who carried him? He walked over himself. Therefore, it's not considered to have any kind of chashivos. And Rav Nachman extends that to animals as well, whereas the Chachamim say, very nice, but the fact is animals don't necessarily go to any given place on their own. You have to leave them there or maybe even carry them there or whatever, because they don't have free will. So therefore, they're going to say that you still have, if you see an animal in a certain place, you might well ask who brought it here. And therefore that gives the carrying it of a certain chashivos. With all that said, Tosfos says all of this is only applying to an adult, or at least a child who's old enough to walk on their own. A baby, this wouldn't apply to. We wouldn't say, "Hi, no, that's absent," because he can't walk on his own. And for that matter, other Rishonim talk about that even an older child, even a slightly older child, a toddler, as long as he's not really capable of walking without assistance, then we also wouldn't say chai no says asma. So you would in fact be chayev for carrying him on Shabbos.
But normally we can learn enough to walk out from
then he becomes no says asma. Right. Omelet of Adaba Ava Lerava. Okay, so if Adaba Ava asks Rava like this. If you're telling me that, so what are you telling me so far? That Rabbanan do agree with Rav Nachman when it comes to the Hema Chayev Oif, because they make themselves heavy. They're only disagreeing about, they disagree with him about the Hema Chayev Oif. They agree with him about a person, they agree with him that a person is Chay Noitei Zatzvay. So, Vahodit Sam, what about this that we learn in a Mishnah in Avarizara? Ben the Seder Matir Besus. Now you have like this. The Gemara mentions the Mishnah and the Gemara mentioned you're not allowed to sell large animals like horses and cattle and whatever to goyim because the problem is that there's a couple of problems with it. One problem is that the goy is going to do malacha with it on Shabbos. The one, now, if you sold it to him on the face of it, there shouldn't be a problem with that. Fine, it's his. He can do whatever he wants with it. But the problem is you may sell or rent it. If you're allowed to sell it to him, if you're allowed to sell it to him, you may rent it or lend it to him. And that it would be also for him to use. That would be also because it's still your animal, so he can't do malacha with it on Shabbos, and yet he's going to. Or another possibility, the Gemara mentions over there is you might sell it to him right before Shkia, and then you're going to tell it to go. You're going to call it. To start going and walking towards the goy, and then you're doing a malacha called mechamer on Shabbos. So you're causing an animal to do malacha right there on Shabbos. So it's bein hashmashas already. Mechamer, malashon chamer, that you're making an animal do its work, for example, carrying a burden. So for those reasons, the Gemara says you're not allowed to sell behema gasa to a goy. Now, the Noisa Kalim and Shulchan Aruch talk about different reasons why nowadays we're not so careful about that. One, the Torah brings a couple of reasons. One reason he brings from the Smag is it's much less common nowadays to rent or lend animals to Goyim, and in those times it was a very much more common thing. And this business about that you may tell it by voice to go to the goy is less common nowadays also. Not people don't have the expertise to do that. So therefore, the Smag says that's a reason to be moderate. The Torah himself brings another fact that, just practically speaking, we live among the goyim, and a person has to make a living. Whatever it is, the point is the original din was that you're not allowed to sell large animals to goyim for these reasons. But the Mishnah says ben b'seira matir b'sus, ben b'seira, the pashtus meaning of Yehuda ben b'seira, allows you to sell them a horse. The Tanya, and we learn in a Braisa. Now, why are you allowed to sell them a horse? Then the Seder Matir B'sus, Mipnei Shehu Oysa by Malacha She'en Chayav Nalav Chatas. Because a horse is used for a Malacha, which is not Chayav Chatas. The Pashtus, what we mean is the horse is used for riding on it. Given that Chay Noisei Satsmoy, even if you yourself were to be carrying this goy on Shabbos, you wouldn't be Chayav Chatas. So therefore, the fact that he's riding on a horse on Shabbos is only a malacha that's also Dirabbanan. You can't ask her to sell a horse for that reason, says Ben Beseira. And Rav Yechanan tells us, you should know, Ben Beseira, Rav Nassan, Amru Dover Echad. Ben Beseira and Rav Nassan are both saying effectively the same thing. So now, the Amit Dalit Tligir Abonna, Lazir Abnasin, Elabah, Behema Chayva Oif, Mishim de Vashavit, Yinav Shayu. If you're going to tell me now, so originally we thought that Abonnan disagreed with Abnasin about carrying on Shabbos both animals and people. So fine, we would say, you know who says you're possible if you carry a person on Shabbos, only Abnasin. The Chachamim would say you Chayav. Therefore, it works out very neatly to say that Rav Nassan, who says that carrying a person on Shabbos is potter, and Ben Beseiro, who says you're allowed to sell a goy or horse, it comes out based on the same svara. But if you're going to say the Amit Lekligir Abaran Aleid Rav Nassan, but if you're going to say the Chachamim do not disagree with him nothing, El of Behema Chayav Oif, only when it comes to animals and birds and birds, Mishum de Meshavichi Nachshayav, because they make themselves heavy and they try to get away. In that case, my Irya ben Beseira Rav Nassan. In that case, why is Rav Yochanan specifically mentioning ben Beseira and Rav Nassan? V'ha'amat afilu Rabbanan Moidu. You just said that Rabbanan agreed as well that carrying a person on Shabbos is potter. So in that case, Rav Yochanan doesn't have to say that Rav Nassan shita. Rav Yochanan doesn't have to say that the Rabbanan that ben Beseira shita about the horse only works according to Rav Nassan. He could equally well say that it works according to the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan also say that you're allowed to, they would say that if you carry a person on Shabbos, you're potter, and therefore the same logic should apply that if you sell a horse to a goy, he's going to use it for riding on, and therefore it's not a malacha d'oraisa. So the fact that Rav Yochanan is saying that Ben Beseira's opinion works only according to Rav Nassan implies that the Chachamim disagree with Rav Nassan on people as well. So we're back to our Mishnah seems to be only like Rav Nassan, and we would prefer not to do that. We would prefer that a Stam Mishnah goes according to as many opinions as possible, especially that it should go according to the opinion which is accepted by Halacha. The answer is Ki Amar Rav Yochanan B'Susam Yochad La'Oifas. The answer is Rav Yochanan would say the kind of horse we're talking about is not the kind of horse that's meant for people to ride on. It's the kind of horse that's used for birds. Now, what does that mean? What do you mean? How is there such a thing as a horse that's set aside specifically for birds to ride on? The answer is ain't ika de bay vaidan. yes, you have the kind of horses that are used by Bay Zaidan, or the Oroch of Bay Zaidan, or Bizaria, or whatever. The point is, he brings from Rabbi Haigon that it's a Persian word that means people who hunt with falcons. A falcon is a bird of prey that you have even nowadays. You have people that they have trained falcons where they train the bird, that it's a bird of prey. They train it to go and pet and capture smaller birds and bring them to the owner. So like normally in the wild, the falcon would just eat whatever it catches right there. Instead, you train it to bring the bird back to you, and then you tie it up and you put it in a cage or whatever with all the other ones you have so far, and it keeps on going like that. So you can have a horse like that that is meant to carry the falcon or the falcons on, because you don't want them to tire themselves out flying to wherever you plan to go hunt. So instead you have them ride on the horse. Now they're not meshavati nafshai, or they're not trying to get away. They're adraba, they're eager to fly and then go start hunting. So nevertheless though, the fact is they're not people. So Rav Nachman would say that you're potter for carrying such a bird on Shabbos. The Chachamim would disagree. That's what Rav Yechanan means. That then the Seder's opinion works only according to Rav Nachman. If we were talking about a horse that was meant to ride on, then yes, the Chachamim would agree that you could sell that to a goy. But when you're talking about a horse that's used for falcons, then only Rav Nachman would say, and then the Seder would say that it's allowed. In Rashi over here, you have another explanation over here. That's the explanation we have in front of us in Rashi and in Tosfos. The Marshal brings actually a different gusa in Rashi, that we're talking about not the falcons themselves that are used for the hunting, but rather the birds that were trapped, that were caught by the falcon. As the hunter gets each bird from the falcon, he ties it up or puts it in a cage or whatever, and we're talking about the horse is meant to carry those around. You tell the horse where to go and it goes. That's not the issue. The point is, though, that if we're talking about that it's the birds that were tracked. Now, Tosfos says, for example, I don't like that answer, because of course you'd be chayav for them even according to Rav Nachman. The Gemara is going to say in a second that Rav Nachman agrees where the creature is tied up, and here the birds are tied up. Right. So if we're talking about the birds that were trapped rather than the falcons that are doing the hunting, then of course you should be chayav even according to Rav Nachman. So the Marshal talks about that, fine, maybe even the birds that were trapped, they're not tied so tightly that they can't move around, they're in a cage or whatever, so therefore maybe Rav Nachman would say that it's not a malacha for the horse to be carrying them on Shabbos, whereas the Chachamim would disagree. That's what Rav Yechanan means when he says that Ben Beseder's opinion about a horse is only according to Rav Nachman. In other words, again, if it was a horse meant for people to ride on, then the Chachamim would also agree that you are allowed to sell it to a goy, because the fact is, the riding that he does on it is not a malacha d'oraisa, which is chai nosa esat. When it comes to people, we do say chai nosa esat. Right? The machlokas would be, when it comes to a horse that's used for birds like this, either that carries the falcons or that carries the trapped birds, according to the two different explanations, Rav Nachman would still say that it's not a malacha, and the Chacham d'oraisa, and the Chachamim would say that it is. Okay. So Rav Yechanan says, now Rav Nachman would agree that if the person or the animal or whatever is tied up, then it would be considered a malacha to carry them up on Shabbos, to carry them on Shabbos. Because whether a bird or whether a person, because then they can't move around, so then of course then they can't say that they're no set up. But Rav Adrba Masna says to Abaya, how could that be? Look at these Persians, the Persian goyim, the commander Ksisi Domu. They are in effect like the Persian noblemen or whatever. They're in effect like people who are tied up, meaning Rashi describes they wear very wide, loose, flowing clothing. So like they can't easily walk around because their clothing will get in the way. They also, they're too refined and whatever to walk on the ground. They always ride around on horses. So in effect, you could consider them like people who are tied up because they can't or won't move around that freely on the ground. And still Rav Yechanan is saying that Ben Beseder's opinion only works with Rav Nachman. Now why? If you're talking that now, when you're saying you're allowed to sell certain kinds of horses to the goyim, So you're saying that the Seder allows you. So first of all, we're not making a distinction between the different Goyish nations. When we say you're allowed or not allowed to sell them to Goyim, we mean any kind of Goyim, Persians or others. Otherwise, the Mishnah or at least the Braita should have made a distinction. So if you're saying that Rav Nachman agrees when the person is tied up, then in that case you shouldn't be allowed to sell a horse even for a person to ride on to the Persians because they're noblemen or whatever, or like people who are tied up. And if you're going to say that, if you're going to say the verse is about the birds, okay, but we said over there that we only mentioned the matter of the birds only in order to say that the Rabbanan would agree. We would say like this: when it comes to a horse for birds, then you have the machlokes of Nosan and the Chachamim. When it's a horse meant to ride on, everybody would agree that you're allowed to sell it to the goy. But in that case, if you have these Persians who are coppers, and you're saying even Rav Nachman agrees that it's a chi of chatos to carry a tied up person or a tied up animal, well, these Persians are considered tied up. But even Rav Nachman should agree that it's also to sell a horse to the Persians. So in other words, we should say, the Chachamim would say, you're never allowed to sell a horse to the Persians, because whether they use it for people, the people are considered tied up, or whether you consider it for birds, they say, we don't say that birds, right? Rav Nachman would allow you to sell it to them for birds, but not for people, and we don't find any such distinction. So that means, on the face of it, that even if he's tied up, Rav Nachman is still going to say that chai no se tachmai. That's the question. Why are we saying that he's chayav chatos if the person is tied up? If the implication of that is that he's not saying you're not allowed to sell a horse to a Persian if he's going to use it to ride on, then why not? The answer is hostam romus ruchu denakibu. The answer is it's not that these people are physically incapable of walking on the ground. They're too proud. They have too much pride to want to walk around on the ground. But when necessary, they do. As we have an example, Dahu Pardashka, we have an example of a certain soldier in the army, the Rosach Malka Ilavei, the king was angry at him, the Persian king was angry at him, the Rohit lost a parsa, the cowardy, and he ran away, 3 parsa on his own 2 feet. So you see that even though he's got this wide flowing clothes, and even though normally he'll never put his feet on the ground, he'll just fight on horseback or whatever, but where necessary, where his life's on the line, then yeah, he'll run good and well. So therefore you can't consider him kapus even when he's riding on the horse. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, if a mess permits a chayev, we said if you carry out a mess of a dead person in a bed, then he's chayev chatos because the chayev chatos. Again, if we say because it's malacha shen tzuricha legufa, but Rabbi Huda, who again is Tana of our Mishnah, is saying that malacha shen tzuricha legufa you're chayev for, according to any of the definitions of malacha shen tzuricha legufa that we said before. And then v'chein kazayis min a mess chula. We said the same thing if it was a kazayis from a mess or a chadashis from a sheret or whatever. And we said in all those cases, Rav Shimon says he's potter because malach hashem tzuricha legufa, and Rav Shimon passes a person from malach hashem tzuricha legufa. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Babachana Amar Rav Yechanan, v'Amar Rav Yosef Amar Rav Shimon Makish, poter hoya Rav Shimon, ach v'motiyas hames recovery. When we're saying that Rav Shimon patters him for carrying out the mess, that means even if you're taking out the mess in order to bury him. So in other words, you would have thought without that maybe Rav Shimon is only saying his din only when you're taking out the mess just for the purpose of getting it out of the house or to get the tumor or the smell or whatever out of the house. But Rav Shimon is telling you that no, even though you're doing it for the purpose of burying the mess, nevertheless, Rav Shimon would still consider it malach hashem tzuricha legufa. Again, according to Rashi's definition, because you would have preferred not to be in that situation in the first place, because you would rather that there wasn't a mess there. According to Tosfos's definition, because you're not doing it because you definitely want to get the thing from point A to point B. You're doing it in order to do the mitzvah of it, to bury it in the ground, but you're not doing it for the purpose of the thing itself. Well, you're not allowed to bury the mess on Shabbos, obviously. Right, but the point is, in other words, this, that even you taking it out to bury it, it's still a malacha shen tzuricha legufa. according to Tosfos' definition, again, because you're not doing it for the same purpose that it was done in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they didn't take out things in order to bury them. They took them out in order to give them to somebody else, in order to put them where they're needed or whatever, and here it's not. And according to the other Rishonim, the idea is because you're doing it only in order to remove, you're doing it primarily in order to remove a hezek, because you have the smell or the whatever. Yeah. Amar Rava. Rava says, Umoydid of Shimon, the mer lach v'boi v'sefer Torah licorice v'boi d'chayim. Now, Reb Shimon would agree if, let's say, you're taking out a shovel in order to dig with it, or you're taking out a sefer Torah on Shabbos in order to lay with it, d'chayev, but then he would be chayev chatzah. Well, says Chita, of course he's chayev chatzah in that case. D'i honami melacha shenit tzurcha legufahi. If you're going to say that those kinds of things are not considered melacha, if you're going to say that those things are considered melacha shenit tzurcha legufah, ela melacha shetzurcha legufah, Reb Shimon heich l'shachaslah, then what would be a melacha shetzurcha legufah that Reb Shimon would say l'chayev? So obviously these things have to be considered a melacha shetzurcha legufah, otherwise what, that shetzurcha legufah rather, otherwise what's left? The answer is no. Mao de Tema, you might have thought, without Rava telling us, you might have thought like this, ad de ikar legufoi u legufah. Maybe what you need, according to Reb Shimon, is you need something with the actual thing itself. You're taking the thing out itself in order to do something, in order to fix it itself. And legufa, the legufoi, for his purposes, that he wants to use this thing. And legufa, that is also it for the sake of the object itself in order to fix it, which would be kagoin mer lachas like tach lachber. For example, with the shovel, let's say you're taking it out not just because you want to dig, but also because the blade of the shovel has gotten dented, and now you need to put on a new edge on it in order that it has a sharp edge so you can dig with it. So you're doing both. You're taking it out in order to fix that, in order to hammer on a new edge, and then you're going to use it to dig. Or sefer Torah lagia v'likris boy. Or in the case of the sefer Torah, let's say you're taking it out because it needs to be corrected, and then you're going to lay with it. Maybe only then Reb Shimon would call that malachas shetzurcha legufa. Kamash Malan, therefore, that is why Rava wants to tell us not like that, that even if it's not dual purpose like that, even if you're only taking it out for the purpose of using the keli and not for the sake of the keli and not for the sake of fixing the keli itself, nevertheless, it's still considered a malacha according to Reb Shimon, and he'd be chayav chatzah. So Reb Shimon would say, in other words, in the case of the mess, you're taking out the mess in order to bury it. You're not really taking it out for a constructive purpose, like digging or laning or whatever. Therefore, the Shimon would say you're potter. As opposed to when you're taking out the shovel or the sefer Torah, you're taking them out you're going to use the sefer Torah itself for the purpose. Here, that's the thing. You're not using the mess itself for a purpose. Therefore, the Shimon is saying you're potter. But in the case of the shovel or the sefer Torah, you're using them for a purpose. Therefore, you're chayav. It doesn't have to be that you're doing it also in order to fix them themselves. Okay. So the Gemara tells how who shachva to have a bedrukra. It once happened there was a person in the city of Drukra who passed away on Shabbos. Shudder, Rav Nachman Yitzchok la'pukila karmis. Rav Nachman Yitzchok allowed the people to carry the mess out into a karmis. So not into Rosh Hashanah, but in other words, the point is that Rashi explains either what it was is the mess was lying there in Bizoyan, it was in a degrading state, or there was a fire going on, or it was in the sun and it was going to spoil in the sun. So they were allowed to carry it out to Karmel. What about Mukta? Rashi says in order to avoid the issue of Mukta, maniach ola kikar kinnis. We do like we did in the second way, like we learned in the second paragraph. You put a loaf of bread or you put a baby on top, child, whatever, on top of the mess, and you carry them together. Normally, you're not allowed to do that. Normally, you would say you're not allowed to carry something mukta together with something non-mukta. But in this case, for the sake of the covered mess, you make an exception. By the way, it says in Shulchan Aruch, another example of that would be also if the smell of it is disturbing the people in the house. That would also be a valid reason to take out the mess. Now, what's not a valid reason, so it's either because of covered achayim or covered amesim, in other words. What's not allowed, on the other hand, it says in Shulchan Aruch, is to take out the mess because there are koyanim in the house and they're going to become tamei. Then instead, what you have to have is a koyanim just have to leave the house. back in, you find in some of the old ghettos in Europe. You have, for example, in Frankfurt, where you had, you know, two rows of houses along the whole street, where the houses were built in such a way that if there's a mess in one of them, then all the houses on that side are now tumult, because you have openings from one house into the other. You have windows and openings and never from one house into the other. So it was a real problem when a Kohen would die and when a person would die on one side of the street, and all the Kohenim on that side of the street have to move out of their houses for Shabbos. So there's a number of Shilohs and Trubis from Achronim that talk about different angles on that. But yeah. Anyway, so in this case, though, the problem was that the mess was itself was in Bizoyan, or that the people were being bothered by the smell or whatever, and therefore the Nachmanitzchok allowed you to take them out to Carmelis with, Rashi says, with a kitter or a chinoy. Now, other Rishonim learn differently and say that actually not necessarily. Tosfos actually, among others, discusses that no. So actually, we'll get to Tosfos soon. But there are actually Rishonim who learn just the opposite. They say don't use a kick or a chinek, because then what you're doing is you're doing more tiltal than you otherwise would. So let's learn the rest of the Gemara, and then we'll touch on those things. Okay. Amalei Rav Yechanan Achur Demar Bred Rabbana. Amalei Rav Yechanan Achur Demar Bred Rabbana. So Rav Yechanan, the brother of Mar Bred Rabbana. So apparently Mar Bred Rabbana was better known. So we call Rav Yechanan by his brother's name. So this isn't the regular Rav Yechanan in Shas. This is a different Rav Yechanan. So Mar Bred Rabbana was well known. His brother Rav Yechanan less so. But he asked for Rav Nachman. He asked Rav Nachman for Kidman. Who would that be like that you're allowing to carry the mess into Carmelis? That would be Kid of Shimon. You're saying like Reb Shimon, that's Malacha Shen Tzricha L'Gufa. Emo deposit Reb Shimon, the Chiyuv Chatas. Okay, true, Reb Shimon says you deposit from bringing a Chatas for it. Isura de Rabbanan Miha Ika. Isn't there an Isur de Rabbanan involved? So why are you allowing that? So why are you allowing to carry the mess on Shabbos if at least there is an Isur de Rabbanan involved? Amalei, so Rabbi Nachman tells him, Ha'elikim, I swear in the Eivishter's name, the Eilus Be'at. You yourself are going to end up carrying that mess. Meaning, in other words, I'm going to just demonstrate to you that my strategy is right, and you yourself should actually be involved in carrying. It doesn't necessarily mean that you personally are going to be carrying, but in other words, you are going to be convinced, once I tell you my explanation, that you yourself should actually be participating in carrying out this mess as well, and not objecting that it should be offered. Because the afilu of Yehuda shari, because Rav Nachman is saying, Adraba, it's not only you're thinking it's only according to the Shimon as mutter. No, even according to the Yehuda would be mutter. Even Rav Yehuda, who says that a person is chayav chatas for carrying out a mess on Shabbos, because the mikan min alor shofar abim. I'm not talking about carrying out to the shofar abim, which would be an issur daraisa. The karmelis kamin. I'm talking about carrying out to a karmelis. In that case, it's only an issur drabanan. Godo kol davrius shidoyches loyse seshavatera. In that case, we have a concept that the covered abrius is a great thing. It's doicha, even the loisaseh and the Torah, meaning the loisaseh of loisaseh, that the Torah tells us you're not allowed to move away from what the Chachamim tell you. You have to keep the zeres and the takanas of the Chachamim. But in certain cases, we say that covered abrius overrides that. We had an example of that in Brachas, for example. We had an example of that in Brachas, where a person is wearing shatnez, something that's only shatnez derabanan in the street, where he doesn't have to rip it off himself in the street, or somebody else is not allowed to rip it off him in the street. We allow him to go home and then take it off, so it's only an issue derabanan. Okay. So there we have an exception that even though shatnez derabanan is also as a zeder derabanan, nevertheless we allow him covered abrius and to take it home. We had previously also in the pay aleph of Armistessa, we talked about the case over there involving using stones to wipe in the bathroom, where again, even though usually stones are mukta, and even though you have in certain cases you're allowed to carry them even in timeless or whatever for the same reason, because God covered abrius. So they're not going to be the same. The same thing over here. Covered abrius is a powerful thing, and therefore it allows you to override zeres derabanan. In this case, it's necessary for covered abrius. Kvod ha-chaim or kvod ha-mesim is the case, maybe. Therefore, he says that even if it was talking about carrying it out to the shoshan abim, then you're right. Rabbi Yehuda would not allow that. Rabbi Shimon would say that it's only an issur derabanan. Rabbi Yehuda would say it's an issur deraisa. But when you go into Carmelis, sure, it's only an issur derabanan. Yeah, which brings up the question, therefore. So which brings up the question, therefore, given that most Foskin passed in like Rav Shimon, and that's how it's brought in Shulchan Aruch, would that mean, therefore, that in this case, you would even be allowed to take it out into Shulchan Rabbim? Because again, God will quote Abriya. Or maybe not. You're only allowed to take it, even Rav Shimon. Even then, we would say, like Rav Nachman Yitzchok is saying, you could only take it out to Karmelim. Yeah, different Rishonim talk about the pros and cons of that. Another question is about this matter of Kikar Etinot. Rashi is saying, and Tosfos is saying, that, so why is it that we're overriding the din of carrying out to Karmelis and allowing you to do that, but we're not overriding the din of Muksa and saying, after all, the mess is Muksa, and we need a Kikar Etinot with it. Muksa is also the Rabbanon. So Tosfos says, look, because when it comes to Muksa, you have a way around it. You use Kikar Etinot, and that way you're not really being over on the issue of Muksa either. As far as timeless, you have no choice. There's no choice but to carry it out of the house, and then that involves putting it in a timeless. Other Rishonim learn that, on the contrary, you shouldn't use a Kikar Etinot, because then the result of it is you're doing more carrying into timeless that you shouldn't do. True that you're accomplishing that you're not being over on the issue of Muksa, but now it comes out you're carrying more into timeless, which is another issue that I've done, then you should have had to, so you shouldn't do that. Okay, so these various opinions are brought in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Now, we're going to bring a Mishnah from Masechta Negoyim, and then we're going to relate it back to our Mishnah. We learn in a Mishnah in Negoyim as follows. Hatolus simone tuma. If a person tears off from his body the simone tuma, so a person has tzaras, we know, let's say, the Torah tells us that if a spot of tzaras has two white hairs in it, the two or more white hairs in it, then he's tamei muchlat. So what if a person rips out those hairs? Or the hichva hamichya. Or if a person had a michya, we learn in the psukim in Parshas Tazria, that if a person has a spot of tzaraas, if a person has tzaraas in his skin, and then there's an area of healthy-looking flesh in the middle of it, we say that that itself is a simen tuma. The fact that there's a healthy-looking flesh in the middle, it's called a michya. It makes it more tough. In other words, if he had the spot, and there's no hairs in it, and no michya, and it didn't grow, then he would be tamei musker. Because we lock him up in a house for a week, and at the end of the week, we see what happens, and then another week, and the maximum is 2 weeks. If nothing happens after 2 weeks, then he's tougher. But you have, the pasuk mentioned over there, that if you have a michya, if you have an area of healthy-looking flesh in the middle of the tzaraas, then it's a simon that he's definitely tamei, and then he has to be sent outside the city, and eventually he's going to need kavanas, etc., etc. So, what if a person v'hichva hamichya? What if a person had a michya in his tzaraas and he burnt it in order that it doesn't look healthy anymore? So in those cases, over v'loy tzeseh, so he's over because the Torah tells us in Parshas Kisete, he's shomer v'nega hatzaraas. Be careful with the nega tzaraas. The word he shomer means a loy tzeseh, so it means there's a loy tzeseh involved with tzaraas, namely not to burn or pull off or otherwise alter the simonim of tzaraas. You have to go to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to tell you what to do. So, it's fine. So now we have a discussion of Amiroyim on that question. Achas mishtayim chayev. There's no question if, let's say, there were two white hairs over there, and he pulled out one of them, he's for sure over on that loy tzeseh, because now there's no simen tumah anymore. One hair is not enough to be a simen tumah. What if achas mishalosh? What if there were three white hairs there, and he pulled out one of them? So then you have a machlok. Rav Nachman Amachayev, Rav Sheshes Amapotas. Rav Nachman Amachayev, because he says, Ahani Maisa, because he says, okay, right now, what he did didn't accomplish anything, because there are still two hairs, but it accomplished in the sense, the Imishtakwa, Chada Achriti, what if one of the other remaining two hairs gets removed by accident, let's say? Then Aslo Lo Tuma, then the Tuma goes away. So therefore, so by taking away one, he made it more likely that he's going to be able to be taller. Rav Sheshes Amar Potter, whereas Rav Sheshes says Potter, Hashtamiyah Ha'isala Tuma. Because the fact is, right now, he's still Tuma, he still has a Simone Tuma. The fact that later on, it might happen that another one falls off, we don't care about that. Amar Rav Sheshes Menah Minola. So Rav Sheshes says, where do I get that idea, that just because he pulls off one hair, he's not yet over on the lav, and he's not yet Chayef Malkus for it. From our Mishnah, we said, we said if a person takes out on Shabbat a kezayis from a mess or a kezayis from a neveva, then you'd be chayev, implying kezayis potter, implying, you mind putting on mute, please? Whoever took themselves off mute, if you want to ask something, go ahead, but otherwise, please put yourself on mute. Thank you. implying then that if it was only a half kezayis that he carried out on Shabbos, then he would be potter. But a different braisa says that if he carries out a half of kezayis, he's chayev. But my lab, so shouldn't we say the difference between those two braisa, between our Mishnah and the braisa, when would he be chayev? If he had exactly a kezayis, let's say, and he took out a half a kezayis, so now he accomplished. There's no more tumma in the house because a half kezayis of a mess is not matame anymore. So therefore he's chayev. But hold, it's not potter. Whereas our Mishnah that says that he's potter, read the apik kezayis because kezayis of mechza. Would be that there was a kezayis and a half over there. He took out a half kezayis. And the Mishnah is implying that he's potter. Why? Because it doesn't help anything. There's still a full kezayis over there. It could happen later that something else would cause part of that kezayis to be missing. Let's say an animal or a bird or whatever would come and eat part of that kezayis, and then you won't have tumah in the house anymore. But the fact is, when you carried out the half kezayis, the kezayis was still left. So you didn't accomplish anything at that time to remove the tumah, and therefore your potter, the patient says the same thing as far as the three hairs with the tanah. Because at the time, he didn't gain. Same right. So the Gemara says, but Rav Nachman, now what would Rav Nachman answer to that? Rav Nachman would say, I'd be chayev. Actually, in both cases, he would be chayev. But hold, it's not potter. When our Mishnah is saying that he's potter, when our Mishnah is implying that he's potter for less than a chazayis, means the opposite chazayis mess gadol. What if it was a very large mess? So not very large necessarily, even Tosfos says it had two or three kezayis or whatever, and he took away half of his eyes from it. Then for sure, we're not going to say, Tosfos says the same thing with the hairs. We're not going to say, if let's say there were four hairs and he took off one, even if Nachman is going to agree your father. Because you need more than just, you need more than just one more hair to be removed. If Nachman is only talking about where you brought it right to the threshold. And then all you need is one more hair to be removed. The same thing over here with one and a half kezayim. But if let's say you have two kezayim, and you take it, please put it on mute. Please put it on. Somebody doesn't have it on mute, and please put it on mute. There's a lot of background noise there. Thank you. Right now, nobody, but there are people listening. Yeah. Okay. So, but if you have, let's say, two kezayim over there, and you remove the half of kezayim, for sure, that nobody's going to say that you're chayev for that, because you still have more than a kezayim left. You're still going to need more than just, you're not at the threshold yet. So even if Nachman is going to, say, that's what the Mishnah is implying, then you're potter. But if you had only exactly a kezayim and a half, and you remove half a kezayim, then Rav Nachman says, then you might actually be chayev. Same way as the case involving the hairs with the tzara. So we're saying, if there were three and he took away one, Rav Nachman would say he's chayev, and chayev Malkus, Rav Sheshes would say he's potter. But if there were four hairs and he removed one, even Rav Nachman would agree he's potter. So even after that, he's not even at the threshold yet, you'd still, yeah. Okay. Now, now we're still in the middle of talking about carrying on Shabbos, but now we're going to digress to talk about a different topic. About cutting hair and nails and Shabbos and doing certain other cosmetics. What is that doing over here? And what is that doing in the middle of the dinim of carrying on Shabbos? So the Malachas Shloima on Mishnayos brings, we just had in the Gemara over here, that connection between our Mishnah and the case where a person takes off hairs from Saras or whatever. So therefore, there's a connection between that and cutting hair. And this is one of those cases where the Mishnah is connected with the previous Gemara rather than with the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah and the Gemara always went together. Whenever you had a Mishnah, you always had explanations on it that the Chacham were doing. So therefore, this is one of those cases, he says, where the Mishnah follows on the previous Gemara. The Rashash gives a different answer. He says that it could be another case of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. You could argue when you're cutting hair, it could be in a way be considered a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. You don't necessarily need the hair itself. You're cutting it because you don't want the hair to be attached to you anymore. And the same thing with fingernails. That's true, you're accomplishing something. And there are actually Rishonim who learn that actually cutting hair and nails on Shabbos would be an Issur D'oraisa and would actually be Chayav Chatos even though you don't need the hair or the nails themselves, because they say when you get down to it, in the Mishkan, they didn't necessarily do it for the sake of the hair or the whatever either. For example, they had the skins of the animals that they had to use, that they were using for the Mishkan, had they had to remove the hair in order to make them smooth. And they're not using the hair, let's say the artist ate the ma'adamim. They're not using the hair that comes off the animal, but they had to remove it in order to smooth the skin, and nevertheless, it was still considered a malacha. Okay. So the Mishnah says, Hanoto tikon of zubazu. If a person takes off his fingernails, one using the other, like, you know, you use one fingernail to cut off the next one. Oy b'shinav, or he tears off his fingernails with his teeth. V'chein sa'aroi, or the same thing as hair, if he pulls it out by hand, for example. V'chein sfamai, the same thing as mustache. V'chein zkanai, or his beard. V'chein ha'gedeles, also a woman who braids her hair on Shabbos. V'chein ha'techeles, or who puts eyeshadow around her eyes. V'chein ha'pekeses, or who is pekeses. Rashi says two explanations. One, it means that she combs her hair, that she combs or parts her hair. The other explanation, Rashi says, is it means she puts some kind of dough-like substance on her face, and then when she removes it, then her face looks red. It was an attractive kind of thing to make the skin look red. So in all those cases, Rebbe Eliezer Machayev, in all those cases, Rebbe Eliezer says the person is Chayev Chatos. V'chom oisim, v'shom shavus, v'chom says only also did abar. Why does Rabbi Eliezer say the Chayev? That's what we're going to get into in the Gemara. So the Gemara starts off, Omer Rabbi Lazar, Machloikis B'yad. The whole Machloikis is where he took off his fingernails or his hair or whatever by hand. Aval B'kli Chayev. But if he used a keli, if he used a nail clipper or a scissors or whatever to cut off his nails or his hair, then he would be Chayev Chatas even according to the Chachamim. The Gemara says, Pshita, Zuba Zutnam. What do you mean? Of course, we don't need that. It says in the Mishnah, if he took off one nail with the other, implying as opposed to cutting them off with a nail clipper. The answer is, Mao de Tamer Abonim, the clean Nami Patri. Otherwise, without Rebbe Elazar telling us that, we would have thought that the Chachamim also Patri, even when he does it with a keli, with a nail clipper. And the reason why it mentions the case where he does one fingernail with the other is to tell you how far Rebbe Eliezer goes, that even in that case, Rebbe Eliezer makes some chayav chatos. And therefore, that's why Rebbe Eliezer tells us not like that. The Chachamim will agree that if he's cutting his nails with a nail clipper, then he is chayav. Again, Tosfos says that would only be a quantity of Yehuda, Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLegofa. Other Rishonim say that no, even Reb Shimon would agree if it's not a Malach HaShein Tzvich HaLegofa. Again, because like you had when they took off the hair from the skins in the Mishkan. The Amar of Allah, the Machloikas Ha'atma, also Rabbi Allah says, the Machloikas is only if a person cuts off his own fingernails, one fingernail with the other. But if one person cuts off the other one's fingernails, divrei hakol poter, then everybody would agree he's poter. So again, the question is pshita sipon novznan. Again, of course, the Mishnah says his fingernails. The answer is ma'od tamer Rabbi Eliezer l'chaveira nami b'chayev. Maybe Rabbi Eliezer would be chayev even if you do it for somebody else, even though it's much harder to do that. It's very easy to take your own fingernails and use them to cut off another one. It's much harder to get your hand in the right position to do that for somebody else. You would think maybe Rabbi Eliezer would still say he's chayev even in that case. And the reason why it says tikon nov his fingernails is to tell you how far that abonon go. That even where it's his own fingernails, where it's much easier to do than somebody else's, still that abonon says potter. Again, kamash malon. That's why Rabbi Eliezer wants to tell us that not. So in other words, in short, the machloikas is whether if a person uses his fingernail to cut off somebody else's fingernails, then everybody agrees he's potter. If he uses his fingernails to cut off his own one fingernail of his own to cut off another, Rabbi Eliezer is going to mention chayav chatos. I'm not going to say he's potter. If he uses a nail clipper, everybody agrees he's chayav. Even with somebody else's chatos. Yeah, with a nail clipper, there's no difference. It's easy enough to clip your own nails and somebody else's. Yeah. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said the same thing with the person's hair, that if he rips it out on Shabbos, then Rabbi Eliezer says he's chayev and the chum says butter. Tana, so we learn in a braisa, if a person cuts off on Shabbos the amount of hair that would go into the opening of a scissors, then he's the tip of the scissors, then he's chayev. But kama maloi piyazug, how many hairs are necessary? How many hairs go into the tip of the scissors? Shtayim, two hairs. So if a person cuts off two hairs on Shabbos, then he's chayev. One, he would only be, if it was only one, he'd be puter. So kama maloi piyazug, omer of Yehuda shtayim. So Yehuda says two. So the question is, Valtanya ula korcha shtayim. We learn in a braisa as far as the dinim of korcha, where the Torah tells us you're not allowed to rip out hair when a person has died, where the goyim would do that as an expression of grief. The Torah says you're not allowed to do that. So implying that only by korcha is it two hairs, implying by Shabbos is a different shear. The answer is ema b'chein l'korcha shtayim. No, what the braisa actually means is the same thing. As far as korcha, also the amount of two hairs. We learn similarly in a braisa. How much is maloy pi azug? The amount that goes into the tip of the scissors is two. Rabbi Yehuda ima achas. Rabbi Yehuda says chayv even for cutting only one hair. Umoydim chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda ben malachet levonis. We take shchoyres. Now the chachamim would agree with Rabbi Yehuda where he's picking out white hairs from among the black ones. Shafim achas chayv. There he'd be chayv even for one. The double, because then he's actually accomplishing something because he's making himself look nicer. The double that, so the alcohol also, actually that kind of thing would be also for a man to do even on weekdays, because because the Torah tells us a man is not allowed to wear the clothing or the accessories or to act in the way that women do. Women are careful about that thing. They're careful about their appearance, and one white hair bothers them. So for a man to pull out his white hair, he'd be over on that. But on Shabbos, and additionally, if he does that, even if it's only one hair, he's also chayav chatos because he's accomplishing something useful. Again, according to Tosfos, maybe only according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to other Rishonim, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay.
Hey.